Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to the Austin and Berm Show. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. This is Talking Stuff. It is an abbreviated version of the show as we're getting ready to head out on the road to attend the Ohio State at Purdue game this weekend. But I did want to give a moment to check in and catch up on all the latest in Ohio State football recruiting because it's been a pretty busy week. I'm going to be joined momentarily by Mick Walker from LettermanRow.com. We're going to break down the latest happenings and see what we can expect for the Buckeyes heading into this weekend. Let's get to that right now on Talking Stuff. Mick Walker from LettermanRow.com joins me now. Mick, happy Friday morning. I know you are excited to get over to Indianapolis and West Lafayette, get back to the old stomping grounds for you. You used to cover Purdue football for a living. What was the most exciting thing that ever happened to you covering Purdue football for a living?
There was a day where Purdue landed a beat Illinois for a four-star recruit when Ryan Walters was the coach. He came from Illinois, so that was probably the most exciting thing I covered. Obviously, that recruit has since transferred, and Ryan Walters has since been fired, so that didn't really amount to anything. But that was cool during the day because it happened out of camp, and I was there. So you know how those days are. Those are a lot easier to kind of just walk over to the coach and be like, is this happening? Is this not happening? So that was a cool experience.
Who was the recruit?
Luke Williams from Naperville North.
Oh, where's he at now? Probably Illinois.
He might still be at Purdue. I could be wrong.
Oh, I guess we'll find out on Saturday. It doesn't really matter, though, because he's not going to make a difference against the Buckeyes. But Ohio State did also get a couple commitments already this week. We're going to dive into a number of topics here, kind of rapid fire today, folks, because as I mentioned at the start of the show, we're all trying to get on the road and head over to Indianapolis for the evening. So let's go back to Sunday. It was an interesting weekend last weekend for the Buckeyes. I hosted a ton of recruits for the Penn State game. We talked about a lot of them last weekend. We didn't really dive into deeply to the 2027 offensive line visitors from Ohio because Kellen Weimer and Mason Wilt had been in town so many times already that it's not like, hey, we have to pay attention to these guys. But I did write last Friday on LettermanRow.com that I felt like those two were, there was a possibility that each of them would end up walking out of the weekend committed after they spent some more time together, as they got an opportunity to really watch the Buckeyes up close again. That happened. They both committed on Sunday, basically simultaneously. Kellen Weimer, a four-star from Liberty Center, Ohio. He's an interior lineman, the number four-ranked interior lineman in the country, according to Rivals.com. And then Mason Wilt, a three-star guard from St. Clairsville down in Ohio on the West Virginia border. Big, nasty, you know, road-grading mauler. Mick, if you could just give one thought on each of those guys before we advance to the current events what you think people should know about these guys as you've gotten to know them over the last 2 years.
I think both of them really compare favorably to a pair of current Ohio State stars. I think Mason Wilt, mentality-wise, play-wise, plays a lot like Austin Saraville did coming out. I don't know if he'll ever play left tackle like Austin Saraville has, but I don't think anybody would have expected that when Austin Saraville signed with Ohio State. And then Luke Whippler, I think Kellen Weimer. He plays very similar to Luke Montgomery, who obviously he's bounced around. He could play, like, started out kind of practicing a tackle. You've kind of hyped him up as a center at one point. Now he's at left guard. We talked to Dale Roddick at T3 up in Avon, and he's worked with all of those guys. He's worked with Luke. He's worked with Kellen. He's worked with Mason. And he talked about kind of just the athleticism of Kellen and how he can play multiple spots, and that's why Ohio State loved him. So I think both those guys could end up being starters for Ohio State at one point down the line.
What's interesting about that comparison, I think, is that when I talked to Mason about his commitment, the player that he said he looks up to is Luke Montgomery. The player he wants to play like is Luke Montgomery. So if you can get both of those guys to replicate one, either Luke or Austin Saraville, that's certainly the path that Ohio State would like to see. That's the development arc that they would like to see. I think that Mason has a little bit of Luke in him, just the nastiness, like the desire to really like embarrass his opponent. That's sort of what I see on Mason on film. Great, nice kid off the field, but it's hard to find a nicer kid than Luke Montgomery, but he is also one of the most aggressive kids on the field every single week for Ohio State. So it's a good pair. It's a really great start for Tyler Bowen and the Buckeyes in the class of 2027 in the state of Ohio. You now have the two best offensive linemen in the state. And I say that from my opinion, not from the ranking standpoint, because I know that there are other guys ranked ahead of Mason Wilt. But and then you all obviously have Jameer Brown in the fold. You now have Angelo Smith and Brady Edmonds. So the class of 2027 up to five commits starting to take off a little bit. But there's plenty of time for that. What we need to really focus on right now on this episode of Talking Stuff is the class of 2026, which has seen more action in the last 2 weeks than it saw in the previous 4 months. And that really continued on Thursday as four-star cornerback Jay Timmons flipped his commitment from Florida State to Ohio State. The Pine Richland cornerback, 5'11", 195 pounds, Pennsylvania's best corner, according to Rivals.com, and the country's second best corner, according to Rivals.com. Jay Timmons took an official visit to Ohio State last weekend. There was a lot of buzz coming out of it that the Buckeyes had made a move that was going to be pretty impactful. And that became official on Thursday when he announced he was flipping from Florida State, his father's alma mater, his legacy school. Are you surprised it happened this fast, Mick? And who is your comp for him? Because I've heard a lot of Jermaine Matthews.
The honest answer is, yeah, I did not think that this would kind of go down this quickly. The modern era of recruiting kind of goes like where Ohio State or a school get them on campus for a visit. And we're kind of seeing this with a guy we'll talk about later. And then the school that they're currently committed to has a chance to retaliate, whether that's the prospect visits that school again or the coaches come out and visit that prospect at their school. I didn't think it would all kind of go down in a week span, but obviously this has been going on for a little bit longer. You and I talked about it during the first off week when they went and visited Jay Timmons. It's kind of been, you could tell by the pace in which he set up that visit, it felt like Ohio State was going to be competitive in that recruitment. I just didn't think it would happen all this quickly. And I do think I've heard a little bit of the same. We talked to some of the same people on a Tuesday and Wednesday when we were in there. I think the Jermaine Matthews comp is pretty good when you look at just the size of, he's not the biggest guy, but he plays a lot bigger than he, like the ball skills, the production, the ability to hit people. Charles Powell, our lead scouting director at Rivals, we talked to him first story on Letterman Row, and he said that there's not a lot of 5'10", 185 pound safeties that just decleat running backs every week in high school football, but Jay Timmons is one of those guys, and he's played a lot of safety this year because they have better players to put at corner, or just better corners than they have safeties. I would assume what their situation is, like Khalil Taylor, who visited for the Penn State game, played is also at Pine Richland. He's a four-star wide receiver that Ohio State offered, but he can play corner. So that allows you to move Timmons back to safety. And he's got a little bit of that versatility that we've seen with Jermaine this season when Lorenzo Styles has been out.
Yeah. I think the nice thing about what you get out of Jay Timmons here is that what you said is correct. Like, you're proving the power of the brand. There are three or four teams around the country, Ohio State being one of them, that when they come calling, it forces every player in the country to reassess exactly where they are and decide if they need to take a chance on themselves. And Jay Timmons is a player that Penn State and Michigan, he did visit Penn State earlier this season for, I think, their game against Oregon. But as we talked about last week, that felt like just a visit that was being taken to see a really good football game. But Penn State, Michigan, others around the country have tried to get him to move off of that Florida State commitment, and it didn't happen. Ohio State offered a month ago, and now he's committed to the Buckeyes. He is locked in as cornerback number two in this class, but not the second corner. He will line up alongside Jordan Thomas and give Ohio State a really good starting tandem. We do believe both Mick and I are hearing, I assume that he's hearing the same thing I am, or at least he's reading what I'm writing at LettermanRow.com. The Buckeyes do still want a third corner in this class, so we'll see how this transpires over the next week or so. CJ Brana, the Florida commitment, who the Buckeyes offered 2 weeks ago, is still scheduled to visit for the UCLA game. It is my presumption that the Buckeyes may end up moving down the list a little bit to try to find another corner, because I don't know that CJ Brana is going to be open to the idea of coming to Columbus on what I would call a discount from what he's probably being offered by other schools, because Ohio State's budget is certainly just not in a position right now where I think they're going to pay three corners a premium dollar amount like they're going to have to make sure they keep Jordan's Thomas and Jay Timmons in this class for the next month until they start enrolling on campus in 6 weeks. So now the question will be, Mick, who are the other guys? But like, we're going to focus right now on CJ Brana because he's the one that has an official visit set up for next week. I think you and I might be on the same page about someone that we saw on camp in the summer, and that would be like Truly Bell from out there in Pittsburgh, California, who, if you're looking for a third corner who maybe fits the profile of somebody that would come for a little bit less money, he's uncommitted. He had been committed to Oregon State, 6'1" and a half, a little bit longer, a little bit different athletic profile than Timmons. and Jordan Thomas. Like that's one where my antenna goes up and I'm like, okay, I wonder if we see Tim Walton circle back there, but we have a lot of time to figure that. Well, not a lot of time, but we do have time to figure that out. So, because as I said, this is an abbreviated version of talking stuff. We're not going to deep dive into all the options. We do need to talk into a player that gives you a lot of options. And that is Legend Bay, a 4-star quarterback at North Forney High School in Dallas area of Texas, right? Is Dallas. Yeah.
Correct.
This is one of those recruitments that has just come out of absolute nowhere to the outside world. We started hearing his name about a month ago from sources at Ohio State and saying, well, hey, watch out. He's going to come up for that Penn State game. And that intel started to come right after Amari Latimer, the Wisconsin running back commitment, had visited Ohio State, and all of the RPMs and crystal balls and future casts and whatever else is, we're like leaning toward Ohio State for Amari Latimer. And at the time, we were told that the Buckeyes would potentially entertain the idea of taking 3 running backs. Latimer, since then, has visited Miami. He's visited Tennessee. We don't know where the next stop is for him. And Legend Bay rolls into town for the Penn State game for an official visit. And as we record this on Friday morning at 9:56 a.m., my expectation is that Tennessee will be in the building in North Forney High School within the next couple hours to try and save this recruitment for the Volunteers.
And I still don't even know if that'll be enough. Like I was told by somebody that we spoke to at Ohio State that you and I kind of both talked to, and it was, they still felt confident they could get it done at some point in the next coming days. They felt pretty confident that come Friday night, he was going to be wearing some scarlet and gray for his playoff game, which I imagine he acquired somehow through whether that's Riley Pettijohn or somebody at Ohio State. Cause I don't know. That's one of the more fascinating things that I've never found an answer to is how these recruits get the gear. Cause the coaches, I don't think can technically give it to them.
Well, they technically certainly cannot give that to him.
That's beyond the point. But like you said, Legend's a fascinating guy. Cause it was all about Amari Latimer, and you and I had that name for about a week. And I was like, don't let that one out. And then all of a sudden that one kind of got out, and it was like, well, we also have another guy. And Legend Bay's a fascinating one because Carlos Lachlan had been recruiting him for a while, but they were able to get him on campus. And it just seemed like they kind of moved on. But now come to find out, he went to go see him during the second off week. They've been recruiting him. You get him up on campus. It was kind of it wasn't an abbreviated visit. It was just a weird setup because of the games on Friday. He got in like real late on like Saturday morning, went straight from the airport to the game, and then they stayed through Monday. So all things were positive. It's just kind of working out things with Legend and his parents and his mom and different things to make sure he feels comfortable in Columbus. But I think overall, this is going to be a tough one for Tennessee to kind of flip back in their direction.
Yeah, right now, Legend Bay is the number 9 ranked athlete in the country, according to the Rivals industry rankings. He is a 5'9", 180-pound athlete who is, I'm telling you, if you put on the tape, and I implore you folks, just Google Legend Bay Huddle and watch what you see here. It's funny because I think there's so many parallels in the recruitment between Legend Bay and Anthony Turbo Rogers from a year ago, a guy that Carlos Lachlan has known a long time. Carlos Lachlan offered Legend Bay when he was a freshman at Oregon, when Carlos was at Oregon as a running backs coach. He got in very early. He's the guy that offered him as soon as he got to Ohio State. Like they've been staying in touch. It's been a great relationship. And then so you see the parallels in the recruitment. You see the parallels in the way that these two are built, that 5'9", 5'10", 185-pound, 190-pound athlete. But then you put the tape on, and Legend Bay is not a running back. He is an athlete. Like he is a dude who he can – I mean, this is not an athlete playing quarterback who can't throw the ball. Like he can sling the football. He is blistering fast, 10-2 in the 100. He is a guy that can play receiver. That's what Tennessee has been recruiting him as. He can play running back. He can play quarterback. And I think that he's a player that Ohio State just doesn't have on the roster. The closest comparison I've heard over the last couple of weeks talking about him is Curtis Samuel. I think that suits him to a T. Just a really hyper-athletic, hyper-competitive kid. You know, and I've talked to him a little bit throughout the week, and I said, hey, you know, what ultimately is what drives this decision for you? And he just said he wants to be developed into the best player he can be developed into. And that's why he visited Ohio State, and that's why Ohio State has moved into this position. So, again, it's 10 a.m. on Friday morning. I expect Tennessee will be in to see him soon. And I think we both anticipate that a public decision will be made in this recruitment by the end of the weekend. Is that fair to say, Mick?
Yeah, that's what you and I kind of both heard. And I'll also give credit, like you mentioned, Carlos Laughlin's been on this one a while. A new guy to Ohio State's recruiting department, Dallas Dudley, came from SMU. He's a Dallas area guy. I think he's also kind of helped expedite it. And I mentioned Riley Pettijohn earlier, but Riley's like high school coach that was there for his first 3 years of high school career went from McKinney to North Forney. So I imagine there is some kind of relationship that are – so there are other factors besides just Carlos Laughlin are helping expedite this, and that's why it's kind of moving as fast as it has.
Yeah, and so the question then people will ask is, why not just take him and Amari Latimer, because they're so different in style and substance, but, you know, money and roster spots, you know?
There's a lot of fluidity with the whole running back situation with they're playing for this year, how many of those guys are back next year. If one of them leaves, is it worth going to get, like, another C.J. Donaldson type in the portal compared to getting a third, like, freshman and just – that honestly, that third spot is probably best used to kind of kick the can down the road and wait a little bit longer rather than going all three on freshman running backs like they did this past cycle.
Yeah, especially because of the way the coaching carousel is happening right now. There's going to be guys leaving schools that are really, really good players. And there's, you know, coach doesn't have to be fired for really good players to leave a school. So Ohio State with five running backs on the roster right now that you think, well, shoot, six running backs on the roster. We know C.J. Donaldson will be gone. You know, we fully expect that Bo Jackson and Isaiah West will be the top two backs heading into the 2026 season. That opens the door for conversation about James Peoples and Sam Williams and even Turbo Rogers to a degree. So a lot of moving parts, as Mick said, and I think it makes more sense for Ohio State to wait and see what options become available in the transfer portal, because there are players that, like, in the SEC, for example, at schools, example, that have already fired their coach, for example, that maybe are really, really good players. And you'd like to see if that player entered the transfer portal before you make a decision on a different guy, because that player might be worth a lot more money and might be worth a lot more to your offense moving forward. So
there's also,
we're done.
There's a lot of guys that Carlos Laughlin recruited previously that throughout the SEC or Big 12, like, that the relationships are there if they need to go to a portal and get another back.
Yeah, it's the new era, folks. This is what happens. You stay in touch and you never, ever know. And that's what brings us to Emmanuel Ruffin, because Ohio State has stayed in touch with the former Colorado commitment, four-star, 6'3", 300-pound defensive tackle from Bessemer City, Alabama. This is a kid whose recruitment has been super interesting. Back in the summer, he took official visits to Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, has offers from Georgia, Florida, everybody. And yet nobody seemed really ready to say, yes, Emmanuel, we want you in our class in the summer. Because if you recall, Mick, he did have a commitment date set in the summer that he backed off of. He was supposed to visit Ohio State on October 4th for the Minnesota game, did not visit. Instead, committed to Colorado a week earlier and ends up then taking a visit to Missouri the week after he committed, which, again, welcome to 2025 in the world of recruiting. Emmanuel Ruffin reopened his recruitment this past Monday. He was supposed to be at Ohio State again last Saturday for the Penn State game, did not make it because of a last-minute schedule change for his uncle, who was supposed to transport him. And as soon as the decommitment happened, I'm sorry, it happened on Tuesday, the buzz started to circle around Ohio State and Missouri solely. And as we get to the end of the week, it feels like it is only Ohio State, and it's just a matter of time until Emmanuel Ruffin becomes the fourth defensive tackle committed to the Buckeyes in the class of 26.
And I love this approach. Ohio State really hasn't been big on taking a lot of bodies in previous cycles in the trenches. They've got four on the offensive line. We'll talk about it later. I think they want a fifth, and they've got some guys circled on that potential fifth spot. They've already got three defensive tackles committed. I think Damari Simeon, you and I would both agree that Damari Simeon of that group is kind of the crown jewel of the defensive tackle class. And then you have Jameer Perez from Glenville. You have Cam Brickle from IMG Academy. Both those guys are like three-star prospects, but they have a lot of traits, a lot of size, and Emmanuel Ruffin's probably somewhere in between the level of Damari Simeon and like a Jameer Perez or Cam Brickle, but he's still a very talented player, or he is a very talented player, and he's able to do a lot of similar things as those two guys. He can kind of move around the defensive line. He can kind of be a run stuffer. And in this day, like we talked about kind of with running back, in this day and age, if you want to take four guys like that, you get them on, you take four, you figure out who can get on the field early, and if they can't, The reality is in 2 or 3 years, you just kind of shuffle those guys out and you sign another four or five guys and you figure out who can play then.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be 2 or 3 years. It can be 1 year. If you learn real quick that somebody can't hack it at Ohio State, within a year, you're going to know when that player might be out the door. So the interesting thing here is it is that there again has been a little bit of a change of approach here from Ohio State, even in the last week, because when we did talking stuff a week ago, the conversation that I was hearing from folks was about the fact that maybe there was an opportunity to replace a current defensive tackle with Emmanuel Ruffin. And now the conversation is we're just going to add to the current defensive tackles with Emmanuel Ruffin, provided he commits to Ohio State this in these next 48 hours, like we might, like we think he may. But it goes even beyond that, because Ohio State's also scheduled a defensive tackle official visit from Jeremy Finch for the UCLA game. J.J. Finch, a 6'4", 280-pounder from Indianapolis, who's committed to Alabama. So, like, all of a sudden, now you're looking at the Buckeyes having a true desire to take five defensive tackle-type prospects in this class, which is, as we talked about again last week on Talking Stuff, like, all of a sudden, the size and scope of this recruiting class is taking on a whole different life. And Finch is scheduled to come in for the official visit for the UCLA game, but so is Dre Quinn. So now you're talking maybe seven total defensive linemen. And to Mick's point, like, that is a completely different approach for the Buckeyes than they've taken in the last few years when it comes to just sheer numbers. I know you've seen Finch probably in person, Mick, because I know you spent a lot of time in Indianapolis over the last couple of years. What is it about him that seems like he'd be a good complement to the other guys that they have in the trenches, including potentially Emmanuel Ruffin?
Yeah, I'm really excited. Actually, Spencer and I, shout out to Spencer Holbrook from Letterman Row. I'm actually in his office right now recording this. I imagine some of you guys have already noticed that, but we're going out to Indianapolis a little earlier. We're going to stop by Warren Central to see J.J. Finch, to see Caleb Elkins, who's out there, 27 safety. Sean Fox, the 27 linebacker Ohio State hosted this past weekend for the Penn State game. So we'll catch up with all those guys. But everything I've seen from J.J., whether it's at camps or in practices or whatnot at Warren Central, he's kind of a versatile piece. I think they still kind of use him primarily as like as a defensive end. He's played alongside a couple of guys that went power four last year, including former Ohio State target like Damian Shanklin. And I just think he's kind of, and it seems like this is the big thing from Matt Patricia when it comes to defensive linemen recruiting, is we want big bodies, and so long as we get big bodies, we can kind of move them around and do different things with them. And that's kind of what J.J. Finch can do. If you get those four deep interior defensive linemen and you get Kari Wilder and then you get Dre Quinn, you can say maybe J.J. Finch is a defensive end. Maybe he lines up a defensive tackle, depending on who, like you said, doesn't hack it. Like, at that point, you just kind of figure out where the bodies lie, especially when you can take this many guys and, kind of, like we talked about, rotate through the bottom of the roster. So I like the idea of just getting as many trench bodies as possible.
Especially because they don't have to play in one spot. I mean, Caden Curry's lined up at nose tackle how many times this year, and he's certainly not a nose tackle. How many times, you know, you look at nose tackles who can move outside, you look at the three techs Ohio State has used over the last decade plus, like Draymond Jones, like Adolphus Washington, guys that can move in and out. That is what you see in the body type of Jeremy Finch. Comparison wise, because I don't know, we're not sure exactly the timeline for guys like Emmanuel Ruffin to make these decisions, but we'll be both, you know, getting home on Sunday afternoon from Indianapolis as well. So I don't know that we're going to have additional content surrounding him until next week's episode of Talking Stuff. But I do think that I think player comps are always interesting and people like them. The comp that I've heard from the Ohio State side of things on a guy like Emmanuel Ruffin is Tyleek Williams, which is actually a bit of a dream, you know, dream casting a little bit, wish casting, because Tyleek was a first round draft pick. And while Ruffin may not have the quickness that Tyleek Williams does, he does bring a little bit of length and size that Tyleek, who was closer to 6'1", 330, didn't have. And if you get a guy like Ruffin, who's closer to 6'4", it really does lend itself to the Matt Patricia defensive stylings, because if you remember his years with the New England Patriots, it was centered around big old bodies like Vince Wilfork in the middle, and then you move parts around those guys. So I think Matt Patricia has been very under the radar as a recruiter to this point for Ohio State. He's involved, certainly more involved than Jim Knowles was when it comes to talking to players directly. But I think the bigger impact that he's making is getting kids to understand what his defense needs and showing them and proof positive to say, hey, this is what I did winning Super Bowls and this is what I'm doing here. So you could be a part of this. And I think that's really intriguing for players around the country.
And he's speaking. Go ahead. We've talked about it before. He's a master communicator. So I think there's a lot of these things of like, hey, we want more big defensive tackles. Larry Johnson then goes out and finds more. Like, they didn't have to go get Ruffin. They found him. They've been recruiting him for a minute, so they went out, got him. You know, you get him on campus for the visit in the summer. You continue to recruit him. It's the same thing with, like, Braxton Rimbert, the Wake Forest committed linebacker. Matt Trisha, I imagine, is like, hey, we should get more bodies, like, kind of like Arvell Reese. So Angelo Nice watches the film, evaluates. You go offer a kid like that, and now he comes up for the UCLA game for an official visit, likely.
Yeah, one player who, at this point, we're not sure if he'll take an official visit to Ohio State is Kevin Brown, the four-star interior line Penn State commit who visited the Buckeyes for the Penn State game unofficially last weekend. Coming out of that visit, all signs were pretty positive, but everyone knew that it was going to be a matter of time and how quickly Kevin Brown wanted to make a decision. He is, as I said, still committed to Penn State. He is the number three ranked interior lineman in the country in the class of 2026 from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. His father played at West Virginia. He took an official visit to West Virginia a day before he visited Ohio State. And there was a lot of discussion coming out of that visit, as we talked about again last week on Talking Stuff, that he may not visit Ohio State. We were updating you live, and as we were getting updates on the show about Kevin Brown's decision, he did make the trip. Things went really well, but then there's that you leave campus and the glow starts to come down. The conversation goes back to the heartstrings, the emotional parts of things. And as we sit here today on Friday morning at 10:11 a.m., my expectation, Mick, is that this will end with a flip to West Virginia, not Ohio State. Primarily from what I've heard and what I heard earlier this week is that there was a bit of a family push to get him to follow in his father's footsteps. But also what it comes down to is similar to what we saw with Texas Tech and Felix Ojo earlier this year. The home team, in this case, I'm going to consider West Virginia the home team, has a lot of investment in one player. And it becomes a very, very important recruitment for Rich Rodriguez and the Mountaineers to win now that Kevin Brown's potential flip fell into someone's lap. So I don't know who's going to flip that bill down there in Morgantown, but the expectation is that whatever it takes is what I was told that West Virginia was going to do to make sure that they are the team that wins this battle. Nothing has been decided yet. There's been nothing official as we record this, but it does seem like that surge from the Buckeyes is going to fall short with Kevin Brown.
And that's obviously disappointing on the layer. If you got on my campus, it felt like things were trending well. He's a very talented player. It seemed like he meshed with Max Riley and Tyler Bowen as well. But like at the end of the day, he's not a make or break guy in this class. I still think they want to get to another large offensive line number. So maybe you check in on other in-state guys. Like does Ohio State legacy Mason Wilhelm, who's committed to North Carolina, get a call to be the fifth guy in this class after you lost Aaron Thomas this week? There's other in-state guys that I like as well. Do you continue to kind of chip away at Adam Guthrie? I know he shut down the recruitment, but you have a couple more home games. Do you invite him up and just see if he does make the trip? There's other options. There's in-state, out-of-state options. And at the end of the day, there's a family component and a financial component that I don't think Ohio State was ever probably going to be able to overcome at West Virginia if that's what they really wanted to prioritize. And clearly that is what the family's thought of.
Yeah, and again, it's hard to judge a kid or a family if they have that opportunity. Again, it is where his father played. Kevin Brown is not necessarily a guy that like seems to be in love with the idea of a big city and that sort of stuff. But Ohio State did a great job even getting involved here. It certainly was not on the radar 3 weeks ago. And now to be in this final discussion, again, is testament to the power of what the Ohio State brand and the Block O can do. Mason Wilhelm is certainly an interesting name to watch for Ohio State fans. His father, Matt Wilhelm, played at Ohio State, won a national championship for the Buckeyes. He's playing really well this season. He's put some really good film on, committed to North Carolina. Obviously, say what you want about Bill Belichick and Michael Lombardi, but I think that they know what talent looks like. And so they've been really invested in trying to stay invested in the state of Ohio, and players like Mason Wilhelm are on that list. We've continued to hear the name as Ohio State hosted earlier in this summer, Daron Parks, for an official visit. He's another one that could potentially be in the conversation. He's committed to Florida State, but who knows what's going to happen down there in Tallahassee. He's back at Nitro, West Virginia, after a year down in Sarasota at Cardinal Mooney down there. So, like, it's been a little bit all over the place, but he's back home closer. Ohio State's always been the dream for Daron Parks. Maybe he'll get a last minute call and an opportunity to make that happen. And then, you know, the fact of the matter is it's November 7th and there's a month to go until signing day. We saw new names being, you know, on Thursday, the name Lincoln Riley being mentioned for the Florida job all of a sudden. You don't know what happens to that USC recruiting class. You don't know. Like, there's a lot of moving parts still. And Ohio State did everything they could to make a swing here with Kevin Brown, but it looks like that's going to fall short. That is also the case at tight end in the class of 2026 as Max Sutter, the four-star Illinois prospect committed to Alabama, who Keenan Bailey has continued to swing extremely hard for in the last couple months. On Thursday, Max Sutter took to Twitter via Hayes Fawcett of Rivals to say he was locking down his recruitment. He is fully intending to sign with Alabama next month, and Ohio State quickly will now have to decide what it's going to do at tight end. We believe that it likely involves an in-state option, and then you maybe, because you maybe need to just call Max Clair and say, hey, let's have a conversation and see exactly what it takes to get you back for another year in Columbus. Because if you can replace a player like Max Sutter with Max Clair, it seems like a win for Ohio State. But I think we'll see Keenan Bailey start to get a little bit more aggressive with in-state guys. Mech, if you would just run down who the three or four are that you think are the most important to know as Ohio State looks to get people on campus in their final two home games of the year.
Yeah, the one that they've already got up is Nick Lauder, the Louisville commit from Lebanon. He's obviously a really talented player. He's a wrestler, like a physical guy that I think could fit kind of what they want to do with the tight end room. There's PJ McFarland, who's a real lengthy, athletic guy, former basketball player, current basketball player at Lakota East. He's a bouncy athlete committed to Indiana that I think Ohio State's been evaluating. And there was even talks, I think my first mock class, I went back and looked at this time last year for the 26 class. I put PJ McFarland because I thought there were some positive vibes behind him. And then Preston Frizell's along that similar vein. He's actually a baseball player. I know Berm loves his Toledo guys and Toledo baseball players. So that's a big win for Berm if they were able to push for him. But he's the tough part about Preston, he might be the most talented of the three. And I think you've held that belief for a while. But he's dealt with a lot of injuries this year. And then when he isn't injured, it's really the same case for all three of them. I had a lengthy discussion with somebody at Ohio State about this earlier this season. The idea of the tight end that you have to block like a left tackle and catch passes or run routes like a wide receiver. The thing is, a lot of high school tight ends run routes like a wide receiver, and their high school coaches don't ask them to do a lot of blocking like a left tackle. So you kind of have to have faith and trust. And I think that's probably why with like Nick Lauder, you go, he's a wrestler. He's willing to mix it up. Is he going to be committed as a blocker more than the other guys? Maybe. So maybe that's why we've seen a little bit more motion with him. But still, I think there's a part of continued evaluation with both those guys or all three of those guys, because I think Lauder's still playing. I think PJ McFarland is still playing. And Preston Frizell at Toledo Central Catholic will probably be playing until the end of the season. So you have plenty of time to maybe watch another game or two and then get one of those guys out for the Rutgers game if that's what you wanted to do as well.
Yeah, I mean, none of those guys are going to come in and be – immediate impact guys, and that's why you still work to get Max Clair to return if you're Ohio State. And if you are forced to spend significant dollars at tight end, it's better to have it spent on Max Clair than it is one of those guys, because as Mick said, most of the time when it comes to high school tight ends, they are essentially just big receivers. They're just split out and used as physical mismatches and not really counted on as an inline blocker or somebody that's a part of the physical run game. You know, even Lakota East, which was the home of Austin Saraveld, that they've changed their offense over the last few years under John Kitna. So like you know that the days of like that, just the big mauler at tight end are kind of gone inside of the state of Ohio when it comes to those types of players. I'm interested in Frizell, obviously, as Mick said, because I think he's like the closest to being a Max Clair type of receiver down the road, but that's a long haul to get there. As we see now, Max Clair in year four at Ohio State is finally developing into a complete tight end. So you have to be patient at that spot. You have to be willing to put in the development. And with a guy like Frizell, you have to be willing to pay him more than what Notre Dame is paying to probably pull off that flip as well. So it's going to be an interesting couple of days for Keenan Bailey to really set up and decide what the best choice is. There are other tight ends around the country and guys like, and I've spoken about this player to you before, Mick, and a guy like Jack Janda up in Michigan, who is another wrestler, a guy that camped at Ohio State, big body, 6'4", 240 pounds, more of a Will Kaczmarek type, a kid whose family is Ohio State fans, even though he lives in Michigan. He loves Ohio State. Like, he's been committed to Wisconsin, but he's taken other visits, and Michigan State and others have been involved. So, like, it really depends on how deep down the list Keenan Bailey wants to go, knowing that there's a chance that Max Clara could return, that Bennett Christian could return, that Jelani Thurman can return, that Nate Roberts can return, that Brody Lennon can return, that Max Clara can return. So, like, you look at the roster and you say to yourself, well, do we need it? Especially knowing that the 2027 tight end group is pretty good nationally, but also that Ohio State is at this point likely the leader for its top target in the 27 class, Brock Williams, who's going to commit within the next month. And if you don't take one in the class of 2026, it does make for an easier conversation for D'Angelo White or Jordan Carhoff, the two Ohio tight ends who are really, really good. It does, and it opens up a little bit of the budget down the road. It opens up the conversation to say, well, we didn't take one this class. Next year, Max leaves, Jelani leaves, Bennett leaves, like, everyone's gone. And so it does, like, these are the things now in this new era of college football recruiting. You have to consider all of these things. And like, the conversation shifts considerably because the financial investments are being trying to be divided up over multiple classes and multiple years. So it does add some intrigue to a position that is otherwise kind of boring.
And the thing, like, I went out, went to Libertyville, saw Brock Williams this year, and he's pretty transparent. Like, Georgia is the other school that's in the top of that recruitment. They have three tight ends committed. And he was like, I don't really care about the number of tight ends. I care about the style of tight ends that they're bringing in. And like you said, I think Preston Frizell fits in that Max, like, Claire role of, like, he's going to be a big slot receiver that we can kind of weaponize and as a pass catching threat. And I think that's exactly what Brock Williams is, and he might even be closer hitting his potential there than Preston Frizell is. So if you take that, does that put you in jeopardy with Brock Williams? I don't really know, but that's just all stuff that Keenan Bailey kind of has to consider about, like, the process of taking some of those guys and figuring out who you want to go after.
Lots to consider. Lots of things happening. A lot of moving parts for Ohio State on the recruiting trail, and that's what we talk about on Talking Stuff via the Austin and Berm Show and 97.1 The Fan. Yeah. What's up, man?
Before you'd like to go, somebody posted on the Letterman Lounge message board. We've talked about many of these names, so we'll keep it rapid fire. Just a quick little game of in and out. We'll get
you. Sure, let's play in and out.
All right, Kevin Brown, in or out?
Out.
Legend Bay?
In.
Emmanuel Ruffin?
In.
Mari Latimer?
Out.
J.J. Finch?
Incomplete. I mean, it's hard to say. Like, let's see if he shows up first. The same thing with the North Carolina commitment whose name is escaping me at the moment. Jimmy, I'm not sure how to pronounce it without looking at it, so I'm not gonna. He didn't show up for the official visit last weekend, as we said last Thursday on Talking Stuff. But the question really comes now: how many spots are left? If we add Legend Bay, that's 24. No, it's 23. We add Emmanuel Ruffin, that's 24. You want another corner, that's 25. You'd like another linebacker, that's 26. You'd still like another offensive lineman, that's 27. You'd like another tight end, that's 28. A pretty big class for Ohio State, and now it's looking like that number is going to get up there. And then, well, forgot about Drake Quinn, that's 29.
Yeah, so the last two names on the list, Jay Timmons was on there. I think you would have said in on Wednesday when this question was posed to you. And there's CJ Brona, who I you can say
I'm going to say out on him, but I think he's going to be replaced by a different corner.
And then Braxton Rembert, the Wake Forest linebacker commit.
Have a real tough time seeing a kid stick with Wake Forest over Ohio State if the Buckeyes really push, and they have certainly been pushing.
But like Berm said, that's four or five commitments out of that list in or out, which then brings you to above 25, which is when things go from good size class to maybe potentially bloated, and you got to figure out the whole component of everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's not USC with 35, but it's certainly a lot more than we expected this class to get to a month ago. And now you're talking upwards of 29 guys if you get all those dudes. So, like, if you
with a lot of freshmen and sophomore, like, the thing about that third corner is if you want to, CJ Brona wants $4, like $4 to come to Ohio State, is it better to give him $4 or go get Truly Bell, give him no dollars or $1? and give Bryce West and Aaron Scott an extra dollar so that they're happy to stick around for another year. Like, that's where the third, the component of Mark Pantone, that's why he gets paid a lot of money to make these type of decisions for Ohio State.
Yeah. I mean, there's also guys like Devin Sanchez who certainly could have made more money going elsewhere a year ago. And now that he's played a significant role as a freshman, like, that you're going to pay more. Like, this is the way it's going to go, folks, until there are some sort of guidelines and guardrails around NIL and budgets and limits. This is what's going to happen. So it means that there's a lot of moving parts to the conversation. We're going to do our best on Talking Stuff to keep up with all of them. If you'd like more from Mick Walker and myself, you can join us over at LettermanRow.com, a part of the On3 Sports Network. I mean, honestly, right now, it's hard to find a network that has anywhere near the ability to move information like On3 does on the recruiting front. So we do our best to keep up with it here on Talking Stuff on the video side of things. We appreciate Mick Walker from Letterman Row joining me. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. This has been the Austin and Berm Show. This is Talking Stuff. We will talk to you next time. Goodbye.